The threat of the unfairness doctrine is anything but fair. The government wants to control not only what we say, but what is available for you to hear. Heaven forbid you should get both sides of a story to make up your own mind. Let the government make it up for you. Joining us now is Selwyn Duke with a report that looks at the fairness doctrine from a little different angle.
Hi, Michael. Great to be on the Savage Nation again. Michael, I know you've been talking a lot about the so-called fairness doctrine, the radical left legislation that targets talk radio for destruction. And you should be talking about it, because leftist politicians have made it clear that talk radio is in the crosshairs. For instance, Senator Tom Harkin has said, quote, "We need the fairness doctrine back," unquote. And Senator Debbie Stabenow, when asked about whether or not she could be counted upon to push for hearings on the matter, said, quote, "I have already had some discussions with colleagues, and, you know, I feel like that's going to happen," unquote. She also linked the issue to President Obama's talk about transparency. Well, I'd like to illustrate where transparency is truly lacking in the media, so I have a story for you. If you're old enough to remember the days when freak shows were in carnivals and not daytime television, you may know about the Barker and the Shill. These were carnival employees who both worked to entice customers into entering the mysterious realm of the sideshow. Only, their methods were very different. The Barker, and the correct terminology is the talker, actually, was a P.T. Barnum-like character, a bold salesman who sang the praises of the exhibits. Although he was given to the hyperbole of marketing, he made no bones about his agenda. He wanted your business. The Shill, though, was a very different animal. His job was to stand amidst the crowd and pose as one of their number. He would then feign awe as he claimed to have seen the show and that it was truly a jaw-dropping experience. He was trading on his illusion of impartiality, knowing it lent him a capacity to convince that eluded the talker with his obvious agenda. Now, I'm sure most of you can see how this relates to the unfairness doctrine. The doctrine's advocates claim they can legislate fairness. They'll say, the doctrine merely mandates that if radio stations air controversial viewpoints, they must provide equal time for the other side. What's the problem with that? Well, besides the fact that we don't need leftist puppeteers controlling the media, the problem is that this regulation would be applied to talk radio, but not arenas dominated by liberal thought, or should I say emotion, a perfect example of which is the ever-present mainstream media, and it would only be applied to radio for one reason, because talk show hosts trade in red meat commentary. But, well, the mainstream press, let's just say it's more subtle in its opinion-making. Now, of course, the critics will say this is as it should be. We don't have to worry about responsible journalists, they say. It's those acid-tongued firebrands who pollute discourse with their pyro-polemics who bedevil us. And on the surface, this sounds convincing, which is why I tell you of the talker and the shill.
Well, but they're only punishing us for being honest.
Yeah, you said it, Michael. That it punishes the honest is the dirty little secret behind the fairness doctrine. But think about it. Radio hosts are the talkers. They wear their banners openly as they proclaim who and what they are. And sure, they may be brash and hyperbolic, loud and oft sardonic, but there's no pretense, little guile. And you know what they want you to believe. You know what they're selling and if you're buying. The mainstream media, however, is a shill. Oh, its members aren't shills working with talk radio, of course, as their talkers are entities such as MoveOn.org and Media Matters. But they're shills nonetheless. They masquerade as impartial purveyors of information, almost automatons who, like Joe Friday, aren't just interested in the facts, ma'am. And they flutter their eyes and read their teleprompters, and we're to believe God graced them with a singular ability to render facts uncolored by personal perspective. In reality, though, the shill media are about as impartial as an imam in a comparative religion class. Let's not forget that these are the people who put Barack Obama in the White House by becoming his de facto public relations team. And they're at least as ideologically monolithic as talk radio. In fact, a study released last year by the Pew Research Center showed that only 8% of national journalists are conservative. Only 8%.
This is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, Michael, I know. It is unbelievable. But the point here isn't the pervasiveness of the bias, but its insidiousness. The shill media are the truly dangerous ones because of their illusion of impartiality. Look, There's a reason why we trust what Consumer Reports says about Buick a lot more than what Buick says about Buick. And if we discovered that Buick's marketing arm was masquerading as a consumer advocacy magazine, we'd want the subterfuge revealed, right? Remember, brainwashing is only effective if you're not aware it's occurring. And this is why the Fairness Doctrine is an insult to the intelligence of anyone possessing more than a modicum of that quality. Its message is, hey, hide your bias well, be a slick propagandist, and you'll proceed unmolested. But dare not tell the truth, or be so bold as to bare your soul, because in our brave new world, dishonesty is the best policy. And this is why, far better than a Fairness Doctrine would be a Truth in Media Doctrine. And here's its mandate. When a correspondent is shown on the nightly news, there must be a caption to the effect of Brian Williams, Obama voter, or Katie Couric, lifelong Democrat.
Well, let the viewers know the real agenda.
Well, absolutely, Michael. Why not? Let's strip the masks off these shills. Otherwise, it's a bit like letting Osama bin Laden sing the praises of Islam while dressed as a Catholic priest. And shouldn't these responsible journalists be at least as honest as talk radio hosts?
Exactly.
Now, although I'm just trying to make a point, the reality of the matter is that ensuring disclosure would be far easier than securing fairness. In fact, how could the latter possibly be achieved? Because media bias lies not just in how news is reported, but also in what they choose to report on in the first place. For instance, why do they decide to focus on the male-female wage gap instead of transgressions by abortionists? Why mythical anthropogenic climate change instead of the UN pact, the CRC, which could strip away parental rights? Why that which helps or harms one cause, but not another? Look, the fact is that the media choose the social battlefields and decide which way salvos will be fired. Human judgment is in play when they decide whether to broadcast or bury, how often a story will run, what terminology will describe it, and what imagery will attend it.
Well, it's their own version of what they call news or reality, just as Pravda means the truth in Russian.
Yeah, I know, Michael. You know what? They're like the sentient programs in the movie The Matrix, because they have people living in a faux reality. Then, the idea that fairness is ensured by disseminating the other side presupposes that there are only two sides. But an issue isn't a coin. There are often a multitude of sides. Therefore, a dictate to present both sides simply means government input in the process of discrimination. And that's what it is, since only two sides will be chosen from among many. But what about the libertarians, Greens, Vermont progressives, constitutionalists, Christian Freedom Party members, and communists? Oh, silly me. I forgot. The communists are giving us the Fairness Doctrine. Now, some will say the other side is simply a refutation of the talker's controversial positions. But here I note that much of talk radio commentary is in fact a refutation of shill media positions. Thus, insofar as this goes, talk radio doesn't need to be balanced by the other side. It is the other side. So, affirmative action and quotas in commentary? Please. Should I think Big Brother capable of factoring millions of different elements into a media formula and developing a model for fairness? Yeah, sure. Let's have the post office run the press. At the end of the day, the Fairness Doctrine is about everything but fairness. Its proponents are just political shills, bristling at the fact that their talk radio test balloon, Airhead America, only succeeded in talking its way into Chapter 11. And their spirit is the same one that gives us speech codes in colleges and corporations, the efforts to stifle grassroots lobbying and hate speech laws. And you know, perhaps it's that those who can teach do, and those who can't legislate. You know, there's an image conjured up by this scheme, that of a sullen, pouty little child complaining, "That's not fair," and stamping his foot with arms akimbo. But as John F. Kennedy observed, life's not fair. And no, it certainly isn't. Some people are born with intelligence. Others aren't. Some people possess logic, reason, sound ideas, philosophical depth, and powers of persuasion. Others don't. So I guess the less gifted's recourse to this fairness ploy is a tacit admission that they bring no ammunition to the battlefield of debate. It seems they fancy big government a substitute for big ideas. This is Selwyn Duke. It's been great to be with you today, and God bless you all.
Thanks, Selwyn. I think you've hit the nail on the head with this analogy.